This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
خلق فقدر شرع فيسر ثم حدا إلى صراط المستقيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته أجمعين وبعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we have been requested to have a discussion about the importance of education. It's a very wide topic. So many books have been written about this topic by great scholars. And myself, I'm just a student of a student of a student. So what am I going to be able to say? So if you're expecting me to give, some kind of widening or some kind of profound discussion upon this topic, you will be disappointed. I'm not going to try to do that. However, I will try my best to try to condense the topic into a capsule so you can go home and think about this subject within the context of what I was able to give it to you. And you know, those who are hungry, you don't need the apple orchard, you just need an apple. So I want to begin by saying, I want to begin by making a statement of a great scholar. His name was Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. You know, someone asked Imam Shafi'i, they said, can you give us a commentary on the surah which is called Wal Asri? And Imam Shafi'i was very smart. He knew that scholars before him, they already wrote many books on this surah alone. So he did not want to disrespect what was already written, and he didn't want to take the responsibility of kind of like trying to say more. So see what he said. Let me remember. He said, لو ما أنزل الله حجة إلى خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not revealed any other proof except this surah, it would have been enough. See the wisdom of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. So, myself, you know, I'm just a revert Muslim who I was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't like I was searching for Islam. Maybe inside I was searching, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his wide knowledge of what he can see, because he is Sami'ul Alim, in his wide knowledge, he saw me wandering, stumbling, looking, checking, wanting something. And just because he saw me stumbling, wandering, checking, he just gave me the favor and he guided me towards Islam. So with this small amount of knowledge, I just want to share with you the perspective that I have about education. Number one, let us keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chose to begin His wahi with the words Iqra. See that. Of all the words Allah, He chose to use to introduce His speech, His wahi to His creatures, the Quran, with the word Iqra. You know, and the word Iqra, it can mean different things. For someone who is able to read, it is the fi'l al-amr. It is the fi'l al-amr, the form of the verb. It is the fi'l al-amr. It is the imposition. It is the command of the verb. So for whoever is able to read, Allah ordered them to read. That's me and you. But to the one who is the receiver of the wahi itself, even though he first heard it as an order to read, and he responded to Jibreel alayhi salam, I'm not able to read. Because he was Nabi al-Ummi. He was Nabi al-Ummi. That means the prophet who was unlettered. Some people say the illiterate prophet. This is incorrect. Illiteracy is the absence of academic knowledge. It's the absence of formal knowledge. To be illiterate, maybe you can't read, maybe you can't write, maybe you're not able to communicate properly, you're not maybe able to make jumlatul mufid or something like this here. This is illiterate. That's not a description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, Allah, in His wisdom, He knew that some people would accuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of manufacturing the Quran. So Allah, He sealed that off. They could not accuse Him of that because He was a person who was already known, that He had no classical, He had no formal education to read or to write. So then they said, okay, He brought some people from some different places to help Him. But the way in which Allah, He spoke, a group of people could not speak individually or collectively. They could not make the statements that the Quran makes. So Allah, He dispelled them. So after some time, they said, oh, he's been touched by a magician. So they made 5 or 6 different accusations because they didn't want to listen. The Quran was too profound. It's going to change their lifestyle. It's going to change their mindset. It's going to take them in a different direction. So, and they was like hesitant. They was like resistant. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He defined the word Iqra in different ways. Until Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He knew it did not mean read for him. It meant recite. So we now go to read and then recite. Now to recite is different. In recitation, you just have to listen. So most of our Islam is learning by listening. Say subhanallah. Most of our knowledge about Islam is not from reading and research. It's learning by listening, or learning by observation. But for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it meant to recite. Recite what? Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So you see this? In the name of the one who created. So Allah came out to let you know that you're not able to read, you're not able to recite unless you recognize the one who is the creator. La ilaha illallah. So, you know, whoever is atheist or agnostic or who is polytheist or who is confused, who is resistant, who is kafir, who is or whatever, Allah, He confound them in just these few verses. So the word Iqra is a word towards education. No Muslim needs to defend or expound upon the issue of reading or reciting or research or seeking education. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was the recipient of wahi, he did learn things from other people. That any any type of beneficial knowledge, any kind of beneficial knowledge, the Prophet ﷺ, he told us. And some of the muhaddithin, they said that this hadith, utlubul ilm walaw fi sin, they said this is a weak hadith. Well, I'm relating it because there's no hadith that refutes it, and there's no ayah of Quran that refutes it. So I'm relating it, you know, because nobody said it wasn't a hadith. So if, whatever the mustalahat or whatever the level of it is, I leave that for the scholars. But generally, as a person who's an appreciator of knowledge and loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, seek knowledge. Walaw fi sin. Why he said fi sin? Because at that time, China, he never went to China, but he was told, he was advised that China was one of the most remote places in the world. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's okay? I need to put this on? Okay. He knew, he was told by people that China was one of the furthest parts of the world. And he knew that if there's a civilization in that part of the world, that some Muslims, that some Arabs or some human beings, they went there. They got some evidence from there and they brought it back and they told him so and so. He said, okay, seek knowledge even if you have to go to China. SubhanAllah. See, now we can understand by looking at the globe. We can go on Google, Gaggle, Giggle, whatever we're using, and we can see the expansiveness, how profound that statement of the Prophet is. So, brothers and sisters, I want to put this issue of education within context. And I want to make sure that I distinguish education from indoctrination. They almost sound the same. And the person who is not careful, they may feel once they have been indoctrinated that they also educated. No, the results of indoctrination is quite different from a thorough education. You see, indoctrination prepares you to maybe understand, to express, to comply, to conform to some system, in this case, Islam. So some people, they go somewhere and they learn the fiqh of Islam. They go somewhere and they learn some other sciences of Islam, the aqa'id. They go somewhere and they learn the seerah. They go somewhere and they learn the Arabic language. They go somewhere and they learn ahadith. They learn the Qasas al-Anbiya. They understand, they learn memorization of the Quran and ilm al-rijal and other kinds of things. And they spend maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years or 10 years or 12 years. And they come back with some kind of undergrad or graduate degree in ilm al-Islam, in the ilm al-Din. And that's great. But if that's the source of their knowledge, that's not really profound education. Now, I don't want to be dialectical about this matter, because maybe some of you here, you had that kind of education, and maybe you're feeling like I'm trivializing your education. I'm not. In fact, I'm not being subjective about the matter at all. Here I'm making a distinction between indoctrination. It's like becoming aware and understanding the premises of the religion, the highway of the religion, the rules of the religion, the regulations of the religion, how to expound upon it, how to teach it and spread it to other people. This is still basically indoctrination. So, you know, in America, and I'm using America as a reference, I was in the military service, and before they place you in some particular expertise or some field of work, you have to go through something called boot camp. You heard that? What kind of camp? What kind of camp? Boot camp, they call it. They call it boot camp because during that time you're wearing boots on the ground. You know what I mean? You're learning all the orientation of military life, how to get up, how to dress, how to follow the command, how to do this, how to do that. And it's all regimentation. And at the end of 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you're just like a robot. You know how to move and do whatever. You don't have to think about nothing. This is called boot camp. You know, some Muslims, they're still in boot camp after 10 years. Islam is not boot camp. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salaka tariqan yatlubu fihi ilma, sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." You heard that? So Islam is not a boot camp. Islam is not just about indoctrination. Islam is about the refinement of information. What is it? The refinement of information. Taking information from its sources, keeping it within the context, and refining your behavior, refining the knowledge itself so that you can pass it on to people in a packaged, disciplined way. This is what we have in all fields of knowledge that now we call it developed and disciplined education. So why do we need that? Now, indoctrination is necessary. You know, when a child is born, the child is not educated. The child is first what? Indoctrinated. The child reaches for something that they should not reach for. The mother or father will slap the hand of the child and tell them no. And the child will cry, but the child will know the next time they reach out that that's not the good thing. But this is elementary knowledge. This is like immature information because the child does not have what? A developed mentality. That child has to be led, taught, breastfed, guided, nurtured. So that child has to spend time being indoctrinated, being insulated, being fed little by little, until the child is eating food at the table with the adults. This is what indoctrination is. And here in Maiduguri, you have had probably one of the most primary, graphic demonstrations of religious indoctrination gone wrong. Do we need religious indoctrination? Of course we do. But people who themselves are uneducated, they have a jealousy, they have bad reaction, they have a misunderstanding of the byproduct, the destination, the objective of refined information that leads to education, and because of their indoctrination and their warped sense of information, they became extremists. And how much damage did they cause before they was crushed? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only just to crush them, but take their ashes and bury it. Not just crush them and put them down, but to bury the ashes in the ground so it never comes up again because of the damage. This is why we have to be careful of religious extremism. Because people become religious extremists for two reasons. Loving the religion too much. You know, everything is too much. A lot of water is too much. You drown in just drinking water. You know, sex is good between married couples, but too much is too much. Too much food is imbalanced. You know, on this subject, I want to just say something that may personify something. You know, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned as one of his sunan, he says, we are a people, and some of the scholars here, they can correct me. He said that we are a people who we do not eat unless we are hungry. And we don't continue eating until we are full. Say subhanallah. So most of the Muslims is going against this sunnah. Completely. whenever the food arrives, they eat. They thinking about food all day. And when the food arrives, everybody say, yalla, bismillah, yalla, yalla. So where does this come from? This is the hawa. This is the desire. It has become a part of the culture. And this is why in traveling around the world, I decided that I enjoy the culture of the people, but I'm not following them in all of that. Otherwise, I wind up to be fat belly guy. I'm no pun intended by the people who might be naturally fat. But being fat bellied is not a natural disposition of the man. It's a sign of too much consumption. And our Prophet ﷺ said, the stomach is the mother of all diseases. This means what? We should follow his simple sunnah and do what? Only eat when you are hungry, and don't continue eating until you are full. Fahmta Ali? You understood? Okay. So we've had a taste, and we've had a taste of a direct taste and interaction with religious extremism. We're not the only ones. Here in Maiduguri, you are not the only ones. This religious extremism in the last 20 years have killed and destroyed and undermined the civilization of Muslims more than the invasion of all the kuffar. Think about that. Muslims who claiming to love Islam and represent Islam, the damage that they did to the, they didn't do no damage to Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high and sublime is he, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So they did not touch Islam, but the image of the Muslims was like destroyed. So much so that if you get on a plane and you got a lihya, or you get ready to go to the airport, you say Allahu Akbar, the people is running. Why? Because some people who claim to represent Islam and to love Islam, following some regulations based upon their own subjective information, they undermined the very spirit of Islam. And now our job is, after this extremism has been confronted, it has been dispelled and buried, now our job is to do what? Plant new seeds in the ground and give a new impression, proper impression of Islam. That is you, young brothers and sisters who have survived. So that's indoctrination. And we Muslims in the West, we had to apologize for all those ignorant, extreme Muslims who did this and that. People is asking us, oh, your Islam do this, your Islam says that. I'm telling them, look, I wasn't there. I'm not a part of that. Why are you blaming me? Why are you blaming Islam? Islam has nothing to do with that. Until now, we are still doing that. This is what improper, extreme indoctrination can do. So now let's switch over to education. Education is not narrow. Education expands the mentality. Education expands the possibilities. Education reaches down deep into the earth and across the oceans and reaches down from the sky and brings us all kinds of benefits that we are using today. Because of what? Education. And a society that is refined in education will lead the world, even though they might be people mufsideen. Look how Allah is just. Some people is mufsideen, mushrikeen. But because of knowledge, what Allah did, Allah, he lifted their civilization up. Is it right or wrong? Hello? Is it right or wrong? You don't think so? Okay. So somebody in here show me a Muslim-made phone. Do you have a Muslim-made phone? The only phone I know right now that's been produced in a Muslim country, it's not even a completely like a, it's not a majority Muslim country, is Rwanda. Did you know that?
the only phone that's been produced in a Muslim country until now. I don't know, I didn't read yesterday, I didn't read last month, but I read that Rwanda produced a phone, the first government where there's a population, significant population of Muslims, they produced a phone. Africa. Not China, not Japan, not Microsoft, no, Rwanda. And just think about what happened to Rwanda just what, 30 years ago? The travesty that took place in Rwanda. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he allowed that travesty, that extremism, that afterwards he gave that country the opportunity to use the technology and to create a phone. Say subhanallah. So Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, he made a statement. He said something like this. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And he will not replace, he will not replace a kafir, criminal government or authority as long as they are producing benefit for the human beings. He's not going to replace he's not going to replace them by Muslims who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they ain't giving no benefit to the people. Say subhanallah. That's his subjective summary. And I think that he's a man that we can look at and say that he had some knowledge. You know, if you read his, if you look at his books, the book called, what is his major book called? Al-Fatawa? Is that his name of his... His name of his books, his books of fiqh, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Fatawa. Huh? Majmu'a. Majmu'a Al-Fatawa. Sah wa la? Okay, so if a man like that made a statement like that, then we should use it as a reflection. That should give us an understanding. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserving mushrikeen like China? Mushrikeen like in America, mushrikeen in Germany, mushrikeen all over the world, India, while Allah is preserving them and giving them, preserving their civilization and made Muslims subordinate and consumers to what they are given. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing that? Why? Because they're giving the most benefit to the human beings. This is a sign of education. A man once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sheikh, you know, when I'm talking, I'm see the clock right there. But in between, while I'm talking, sometimes I'm thinking about my wife, I'm thinking about my children, I'm thinking about the food that we're gonna have later on, and you know, I might forget. So Sheikh, just, you know, like, if I go to the clock, just tap me, you know, let me know, because like I'm doing something I love, and you know, when you're doing something you love, you can forget. Okay, brothers? Good. So, what I said, what was I saying? Uh-huh, yeah, good. Thank you, brother. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, and you know, a lot of the very profound things that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was because somebody asked a question. You see? Someone asked a question. And then Allah, he gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the capability, something that Allah did not give any prophets before him. It was called Jawami al-Kalam. You heard that, right? Jawami al-Kalam. It means like pregnant words or prolific words, that in every age, those words is producing new meanings. Even though the words are small, the meanings are powerful. So see what this man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is related to the topic. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which person is the best? Like simple, who's the best? Now this question could be asked in a lot of different ways, and the Prophet, he answered this same question and within a different context. He answered this in like 15 or 20 different ahadiths. is similar. You know, he asked him, you know, which action is the best? But in this case, he's asking, what person is the best? See his answer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, khayrun nas man yanfa'un nas. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of people is those who give the most benefit to the people. Now, of course, those who have iman will be the best of the best. But you're not going to be the best of people just because you know Islam and you ain't giving no benefit to the people, because that's not consistent, okay, with the gifts that Allah has given to us. It's okay? Everything's all right? Okay. So, education is geared to... It's okay, Sheikh. I don't need to drink. No, that's okay. I'm good. You know, like in America, we say, I'm good. Shukran, Sheikh. Because, you know, if I'm in my theater, you know, if I'm in the university, and this is my theater, and I'm talking to students, and they want to be reaching, open up a bottle of water. So hold up. This is not Starbucks. This is a class. If you can't stop, you can't resist drinking and eating for a few minutes, then that's a lack of discipline. And I appreciate the consideration, but I just got finished eating some watermelon and some ananas and drinking and chilling and all that there. So unless I call for I really need something, I'm not going to drink no water, because then maybe you want to drink some water. Then we lost our concentration. You understand me? Good. So, education is necessary. All governments in the world today makes it wajib for children to be educated. Why? Because without educated people, the society will not function well. The society will not be competitive. The society cannot develop institutions. So therefore, in order for that to happen, the government makes it wajib upon the parents to take the children to school and prepare them to do what? For a place in the society where they will be of benefit to the society. So the premise of education is to do benefit for the society as opposed to indoctrination. So we got that part? Okay, Sheikh, how much time we got left? Huh? We still got what? 15 minutes. Okay, so now we're at the top of the plateau. We got the premise of education, which was Iqra. Is that correct? We have the definition of education, which is to benefit society. Benefit the human being and benefit the society. And we have the distinction between indoctrination and education. Is that correct? So now we're at the plateau. You know, that's like the top of the mountain. Because we got a clear understanding. There is no view which is more profound than the view at the top of the mountain. But now, when you get to the top of the mountain, you need to come down. So we're going to come downhill now to see what are the results to education, where it leads to. Well, first of all, the one who is educated has the opportunity to lead. And at the end of the day, human beings need to be led. Not just fed, but what? Led. Because animals can eat and display their power. But animals also need to be led. Human beings choose leaders. They select leaders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants each one of us to be in a position of leadership. In the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, each one of you is ra'i. You know, the woman, she's ra'i over her, and the man, he's a ra'i over his congregation. And the woman, she's a ra'i over the over her husband, over what her husband has given her responsibility over. And Allah, you will all be mas'ulun in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the responsibility He gave to you. So leadership is one of the responsibilities that come out of proper education and social refinement. So now, what are the requirements of a leader? Because each one of us, we are a leader in a different capacity. First, the leader has to have vision and mission. What? Good. Now, I got 15 points here. Each one of those points could be supported by Quran and Sunnah. I could give you also a bibliography where you can read through and see, oh, this is where that book, there's a book on this subject, because I've read certain books leading to each one of these titles I'm giving you. So the first one is leadership. One of the responsibilities of leadership is that the leader, if that leader wants to give the most benefit to his or her nation, that leader must have a new, powerful, relevant vision and mission. Number two, that leader must be self-motivated. The leader should not be dependent upon exterior motivation. So what's the next one? Huh? Self-motivation. That leader must be optimistic and positive-minded. Qaisun fatan. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in another hadith that somebody classified as being weak, but I'm using the hadith anyway because I didn't find any ayahs of Quran or any hadith which it polarizes against. So I'm using sometimes a weak hadith because it's just beautiful. And if somebody says, well, that's a weak hadith, okay, so just let's use it as a like a athar if you don't believe it's a hadith. Qaisun fatan. He's clever. He has good personality. He's amenable in his personality. People like him. He's personable. He's smart. He's resourceful. This is the qualities of a good leader. The leader must also be emotionally stable. You know, if you have a leader and in the middle of his commandments, he start crying and become emotionally overwhelmed. what that will do? So he have to take control of himself. Secondly, maybe he can use humor, but he's not a comedian. He have to be serious. To give a command, you have to be serious. You have to have some level of authority. Then that leader has to have self-confidence. What's the word? Okay, so let's move this self-confidence outside of the human being into the animal kingdom. So there's an animal which is called the king of the jungle. What animal is that? See, nobody have any doubt about it. It's not a bird. The lion. But the lion is not like a rhinoceros. It's not like a hippopotamus. It's not like an elephant. The lion don't have that kind of strength. So why is that lion the king of the jungle? Because the lion has what? Excuse me? No. Attitude. The lion has attitude. When he arrives, his attitude shoots out. Everybody see him, they say, oh, the lion is here. The hippopotamus, the rhinoceros, the water buffalo, the giraffe, all of them see the lion and all of them start getting things together and moving because of attitude. The Muslim with Iman has to develop what? The correct? The leader must have what? The correct attitude. There's a bird among all the thousands of birds, which also is called the king of the sky. Which bird is that? See, everybody agree. Because the eagle, not only does it have a wingspan of 45 feet or 50 feet, something like that, but that eagle can fly at 20,000 feet in the sky, and he can see a rabbit running on the ground. And he can fly and watch, check that rabbit, and he catches a wind, and he comes down flying at about 250 miles an hour, and shoom! There's no other bird can do that. The hawk is a powerful bird. But when the hawk see that eagle coming down, what the hawks do? They're gone. Because the eagle is what? King of the sky. The leader has to have the attitude of the lion and also the vision of the eagle. The leader must be decisive, conclusive. He has to come to a decision even when people themselves are in disagreement. You remember at the Battle of Hudaybiyah, you remember that? The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet he had several decisions to make and all that, but he was already visited by Jibreel alayhi salam and gave him wahi about the issue. And so when he told the companions the decision that was made, most of them, they did not agree. Is that right? Those who know, the seerah, right? Including Umar ibn Khattab and other people, radiallahu anh, they didn't agree. They thought it was a bad deal. But the Prophet already received the wahi, so he just told them, chill out, like that. He didn't say chill out, but you know, he told them just be easy. Because they loved the Prophet ﷺ, and they was trained in ittiba' al-Rasul ﷺ. They accepted, but they didn't like it. Until later on, the wahi came, then they understood it. So the Prophet ﷺ, because he's a man under wahi and discipline, he was able to make very decisive, very conclusive decisions. Another trait of leadership. The leader has to have passion. He has to be enthusiastic. He has to be able to expound and motivate his people. The leader has to be accountable. He can't just do whatever he wants to do. He has to be responsible. And there are people around him who had to put the leader in check. He's not a prophet. Nobody had to put a prophet in check. The prophet is already in check. But anyone who's not a prophet, he has to have people around him or her who do what? Keep the leader in check. Because even a leader has to be responsible. The leader has to keep focus. So many things to do. Focus. Can you imagine being the president of Nigeria? You know, people want to criticize and say this, I would do this, I would do that, why he didn't? That's just because you got a democratic country. If you were somewhere else, you wouldn't be saying that. You just keep your mouth shut, keep from going to jail. But because a democratic country, everybody got an opinion. Or he should, or I should, I think this and that. No. Look, a president of a country, when he gets up in the morning and enters his office, he has 30 or 40 decisions that need to be made within that same hour. This could be affecting the lives of the people and the well-being of the country. Could any one of you do that just because you got a PhD? No, you couldn't. So just keep quiet. Learn to keep quiet. And don't criticize just because you got a mouth and you got a mind to think. The leader. Secondly, the leader has to be open for learning. He cannot be closed-minded. There was a president of the United States of America, his name was John F. Kennedy. I think everybody heard of him. One of his traits is that every morning when he came into his office, he was a speed reader. They had a stack of newspapers, about 30 newspapers of the major countries in the world. And when he came into his office, he went through all those newspapers and read the headlines. So when he put them over to the side and he met with his cabinet, he knew what was going on in the entire world. Look at that. A leader has to have those characteristics. He has to have empathy. In the Quran, when Allah spoke about Sulaiman, alayhi salam, who had power beyond, he had extraordinary power beyond even what the mind can imagine Allah gave to him. Is that correct? Now, do you remember when he was walking with his army and there were some ants in front of him, right? You remember that story? And he heard those ants saying, move out the way because Suleiman's army is coming. He heard them. And what did he do? Huh? He smiled and he diverted them away because he had empathy for them. So the leader who is not sensitive, doesn't have empathy for the people, he will not last long. The leader must be persuasive because there's times when there's going to be opposition. Sometimes that opposition is justified, but he has already made a decision. So what does he got to do? He's got to collect those people together and use his charm. What's the other word for charm? To persuade people? What's another word for it? Huh? So what? Well, it's a special skill that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a leader where he is able to, like, he can convince the people about his position. That's a special skill. He can convince the ignorant and he can convince the eloquent, both. This is called persuasiveness. The leader has to be able to build a team because he can't do much by himself. Is that right or wrong? He has to be a team builder. He has to be a leader of that team. He's got to make different teams and he's got to coordinate them. He's got to he's got to foster creativity. That means new things, new technology, new challenges, diseases, situations. He's got to invest the money properly. This is not easy, but this is a part of leadership. And the leader has got to be dedicated to social change. What's the last point? Because things are not stable. Things are not just static. Things are changing. Human beings are changing. The world is changing. Technology is changing. And the leader has to also respond to that change. How many of us understand the challenge now of leadership? How many of us appreciate more the challenge of leadership after this description here? How many of us? I mean, I do. I do. You don't? So I'm asking you, you can say Allahu Akbar, you can say hallelujah, you know, you can say anything you want. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're getting out of this the same thing because we're coming down to the end. So this is the product of education. This is why you need to stay in there, complete your education, and move out further, because motivation, inspiration is built upon properly placed information, and all of that together is the process of education. Did you understand that? Okay, do I get 5 stars? Do I get 3 stars? What do I get?
5 stars.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Okay, the last thing I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, is that education leads to the responsibility of leadership, and it is a manna. It is an amana that Allah, He offered to the heavens and the mountains, is correct? But they refused. But the human being, he accepted. But what the Allah, he called the human being? Huh? Veluman, another word. Jahula. So it's not stupid. You're not stupid by accepting responsibility. It is in a manner. But the human being is always overestimating and underestimating somebody else and overestimating themselves. The human being must be accountable. The human being must be responsible. The human being must have political power, must have general consensus of the local people, must have deep knowledge and respect for the local constitution, must have the ability to allow people to nominate, and must take the consensus of the people. Now, all this is related to education. As I said to you, brothers and sisters, these 15 points of leadership
is the outcome of education and makes a distinction between education and indoctrination, and this all comes out of and extracted out of the first verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iqra, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. You know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He started the whole process of refined education that the world had never seen before, just with these words, Iqra. So having said that, brothers and sisters, I want to say that I want to show my gratitude. Sheikh, can I have my phone for a minute? Because, you know, like in our country, we don't have like His Honor, His Excellency, His Highness. These are all beautiful titles, but I get confused sometimes because I'm from New York. So I just want to make sure, you know, that I'm saying things right. Because I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people who invited me and the people who trusted me to come here and make these presentations. One is the Professor Zulum, the Honorable Professor Zulum, the governor of Borno State. Number two, it is the spiritual Shehu, spiritual ruler of the Muslims of Borno State, Al-Haji Abu Bakr ibn Umar, Shehu of Borno. And thirdly, our sponsor, a dynamic personality, after reading his profile, Dr. M.K. Dikwa, the founder of the Al-Ansar Foundation, and his 15 or so chairmen who met me at the airport. I've never been met at any airport in the world by such a distinguished group of people. I've been to 102 countries. I've been the guest of like five different heads of state, a guy from Brooklyn, you know me? So, you know, I'm honored. But for 15 chairmen of different departments to meet me at the airport, that's like, wow. Now, it would have been nice if each one of them had a bag of gold, but I didn't expect that, and I don't deserve that. The fact that I've been selected to come here and be entrusted with giving you what I've given you, I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very grateful to you young people for listening to me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make what I've said relevant to you, and that Allah causes all of this to benefit you, and that Allah will write this down on my mizan and on your mizan. And I also want to give my gratitude to one of my colleagues, the Amir Umar Al-Farouk Al-Bello in Abuja. Very dynamic person. He was not able to join us, although he's one of the most respected people I met in Abuja. And he sent his crew, he sent his team with me. Very responsible, very distinguished people, and I appreciate that too. And I brought with me two of my colleagues who are also from Nigeria. You know, I tell people all the time, hey Sheikh, who's your multimedia crew? I tell them, I got some guys from Nigeria. They said, what? Why are they not from America? I said, it doesn't matter where they're at, they are professional, they're proficient. You know, and they were the ones who made the connection to help this happen. May Allah bless them also. And then I've been received by some of the best people. And then I've been listened to by probably the faces and the minds of the future. Thank you so very much for that. Our Sheikh, Professor Rufai, is that correct? Umar Rufai? Yes, sir. Our professor, he's going to give you, like, I think, a translation in Hausa. Not Fulani? Okay, in Hausa. He's going to give you like a muhtasar in Hausa. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention our imam.
Yes.
And our muadzin.
Yes.
You know, may Allah bless them, because, you know, these people You know, the prayer is not happening with a robot.
Yes.
The Adhan is not called by a robot. He's a human being. And all of that there. And they are calling the Adhan, and they are leading the prayers to us on a regular basis, but we don't reward them properly.
Sure.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأصلي وأسلم على من رفع الله في العالمين ذكره سيد الأولين والآخرين سيدنا محمد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أمة سجر ما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جئنا قام ونرم ونتي منذ من صلى أنا ما صليتنا الأنصار نتي مشي إن شاء الله إلى دام أوكي الإمام وجود الشيء mu gode da liyan mu koma da shi Abuja saboda jin dadin yanda muke sallah a wannan wuri dama kuma garin alqur'ani ne saboda haka muna murna da kasancewar mu a wurin garin alqur'ani sheikh yaza amfani da minti 7 ko 8 sannan kuma in yi magana akan wani yanki na al'amarin da'awa kafin a kira sallah ayi sallah insha Allah sheikh ya ja mu sosai kuma ya ja hankalin mu akan matsayin ilimi muhimmancin ilimi ya fadi ya ambata cewa magana akan wannan abu ne mai fadi saboda littattafai da yawa sun yi magana akan ilimi ya za a iya tsuke shi lokaci daya bayar zai wahala saboda haka sai dai a tsakari wani abu a bayar gurgurdan hali ɗan uwa masu girma mala ya kawo maganan Imam Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu kan da aka tambaye shi magana akan suratul asr matsayinta yace da ma Allah subhanahu wata'ala bai saukar da wata aya ba bayan wannan sura suratul asr da ta ishi mutane saboda mene saboda matsayin ababan da ta kunsa na karantarwa daban-daban ɗan uwa masu girma mu sani cewa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tun farko da ya aika annabi rahama manzon Allah annabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abin da ya fara isarwa ko kuma ya kaddamar da shi ga duniya gaba daya cewa ya ce mishi mene ya ce mishi iqra kai karatu ma'ana tushen addini tushen ci gaba tushen da al'umma za su tafi akai shine mene shine ilimi wannan shi yasa manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallama ya zama gagaro tun a wancan zamanin yanzu ma ba shi har yanzu ya zama gagaro saboda mene saboda matsayin ilimi mana ilimi musali cewa akwai banci tsakanin kalma na ilimi ne ta zama ne ina ta tunani a Hausa na ya za a yi fassar indoctrination sannan sai ya zo min cewa kawai in ce a ɗakan da shi ko babu an ji wannan Hausa a ɗakan abin da yake da shi ko babu mana lallai ilimi abin da ake ce mai ilimi kuma ya zauna ilimi shi ne zai tabbata a kan hadisin manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallama da ya nuna cewa man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi al-ilm سهل الله له طريقا الى الجنه duk wanda ya tattaki ya bi hanya ne ya samu ilimi abinda sheikh ya amfani da shi kenan duk wanda ya taka ya bi hanya ne nemi ilimi to Allah subhanahu wataala zai sauke mishi hanyar shiga aljanna ashe kenan shi ilimi tattaki ake yi aje a neme shi da wannan zai ba mutum fahimta zai fada da tunanin shi zai sa ya fahimci ababe fiye da kima saboda mene saboda ya tattaki shi yasa sai ya amfani da daman ya ambata wannan ce duk da akwai hadisin da yake mai rauni ne cewa ku nemi ilimi har zuwa mene har zuwa cai ce lalle hadisi ne wanda yake ya san cewa ɗan uwanan masana hadisi ne masu tace hadisi ne tunda akwai a nan wannan gari wanda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya yi mabaiwanta ce hadisi bawan Allah shekhana sheikh sharif sale daga nan Maiduguri sati biyu da ya wuce muna gidansa mun je mashi gaisuwa na musamman a taron mu na malaman karantar da arabiya da kuma darasatul islamiya Allah subhanahu wataala ya kara ma wannan bawan Allah daraja da girma da matsayi wurin kokarin yin ayyuka na addini saboda haka kenan shi ilimi kokarin ake ai tattaki a je a neme shi saboda haka mu fahimci wannan magana lalle da aka ce a je har can ma'ana ana magana ne akan nisan wuri saboda mene idan ka je zaka iya samun ababan da yake zaka tace fahimtar rayuwa shine sai yasa malam yace abinda ake nufi da ilimi shine bin hanya na kokarin tace abin da rereye abin da yake kyakkyawan gaskiya game da ainihin ilimi ba kawai dunkulan ilimi ba a yanda kai kanka zaka tace ka rereye ka cire abin nan tsaba daga mene ka cire abin nan ƙasa tsakuwa daga ainihin tsaba to shine ake nufi ilimi wannan bai samu face sai kowannen mu ya tattaki kuma yayi aiki mai yawa kuma yayi aiki mai girma don mu san cewa matsayin ilimi shine yake kawo ci gaba a rayuwar al'umma wallahi mu dubi wannan hadisi malai yace mana mu kallo wannan hadisi da aka tambaya Annabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallama wane ne mafi alkhairin mutane an yi mashi tambaya akan wane wani aiki ne mafi kyau wani sadaka ne mafi kaza amma wannan an tambaye shi ne wani mutum ne yake mafi alkhairi sai yace mafi alkhairin mutane shine wanda ya ba mutane ababan amfani ma'ana wanda mutane suka amfana da shi shine mafi alkhairin mutane malam ya kawo mana wannan a matsayin ya ba mu kan cewa in mun lura duniya gaba daya yanzu ana cin gajiyan ababe masu girma ana cin gajiyan kimiyya da fasaha ababe na yaduwa na ilimin kimiyya da fasaha ya isa ko'ina wanda kanshi a yanzu a wannan masallaci in za a kirga ilimin kimiyya da fasaha la tu'addu wala tuhsa ba a iya kididdige su ko ba haka ne ba me ya kawo da shi ilimi sai annabi sallallahu alaihi wasallama ba ya nuna cewa mumini wanda ya amfanar da mutane ba sai malam yace abinda hadisi yake kara ga mana shine wanda ya amfanar da mutane ina kuma a ce mutum mu'mini ne sannan kuma ya amfanar da mutane wannan shine abu mafi daɗi ga ka mu'mini sannan ka amfanar da mutane yace ga waɗanda suke mushrikai waɗanda basu yarda da Allah ba amma sun amfanar da al'umman duniya shi yasa sai ya zamo suna gudanar da duniya kamar tana tafin hannunsu su yanda suka gabata mu sani da ilimi ne akan juya al'umma kuma a shugabance su da ilimi ake juya al'umma kuma a shugabance su kowanne mu ya sani kuma gaskiya ne cewa lalle ana juya kasuwancin duniya ana juya duniya da ababen da suke yi amma waɗanda suke juya waɗannan duniya a kasuwanci da ilimi da samar da ababe tabbas ba kasashen musulmai bane kasashen waɗanda ba musulmai bane roƙon da muke ya Allah ka ba mu wata lokacin da zamu rayu mu gani cewa mu kasashen musulmai muke juya duniya Allah ya yarda da haka amma wannan alƙawari ne Allah subhanahu wataala ya mana cewa wa'adallahu allazina amanu wa 'amilus salihati ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا الله يكاوم وأن زامن لزام قهكا أما دول نسي من أوكي متاكي من بأبن ديداتي كما من أوكي حين لزام إسرد wannan sako na musulunci zuwa ga sauran jama'a sannan kuma su san ka'ida da kuma fahimtan cewa wannan addini lalle shine a gaba amma sai mun zama masu me masu kokarin amfanar da al'umma al'umman duniya zama suna gangarowa don su samu da amfani daga gare mu saboda haka ilimi yake jawowa ka samu shugabanci kuma ka gudanar da duniya malam ya ambace ababe da yawa wanda yake dole ne ya kasance mai shugabanci ya zamo yana da su ya kasance mai ilimi ko kuma shugaba ya zamo mutum ne wanda yake na daban. Shi yasa yace dole ne ya zamo mai hangen nesa, mai tunanin abin da zai faru a al'ummarsa don gaba. Annabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallama babu mai hangen nesa irinsa. Shi yasa al'ummarmu muke nan kuma muke zaune. Wallahi Allah ya daga matsayinmu ne da kasancewar mu al'umma Annabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ba dan haka ba za mu iya ci gaba, ba za mu iya komai ba, saboda mene? Yana mana hangen nesa. Shi yasa ya ambaci ababen ma da za su faru a gaba, saboda tabbas shi manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam la yanfiku anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha 'allamahu shadidul quwa. Saboda haka ɗan uwa, mu sani cewa za mu iya samar da ƙasa ko amfani ga al'umma ko ilimi ta zama abin da zai zama ya tafiyar da al'umma ne in mun ƙoƙarin ainihin amfanar da al'umma. Ina ma da a ce ya iya Hausa ko kuma ya iya Kanuri, ya yi da Kanuri, da sai saƙon ya isa. Amma ni na tsakaro ne abin da Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya yi nufin zan iya tsakarwa daga gare shi. Akwai wani ɗan uwa da aka ce ya manta ainihin abin nan ID card nashi daga ɗan jami'an Maiduguri ne da suna Aliyu Muhammad. Allah ya zo ya ɗauki ainihin kaminsa ko kuma wanda ya san shi ko kuma wani ɗalibi. A ƙarshe zan kawo mana ɗan bayani. Malam a nan kafin nan ya yi bayani cewa yana bayan ya yi godiya ga babban gwamna cikin gwamnonin Najeriya. Kullum mukan kira shi babban gwamna matsayi saboda ganin ababen da yake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya ƙara ainihin tsayar da shi wurin aiki alkhairi. Allah kuma ya sa ya zama shugaban ƙasa wata rana. Yan uwa, bayan ya ambaci gwamna, ya ambaci abin da Shehu Borno, sannan kuma ya godiya ga wanda yake ma'assas na wannan cibiya, Dr. M.K. Kyari Dikwa, sannan kuma ya godiya ga shugaban Muslim Professionals in Da'awa, wanda mu dinnan mun zo muna representing nashi ne. Ya so ya zo nan amma sai kuma ya samu ɗan rashin lafiya, sai ya zamo bai kasance nan. Amma tun duk da bashi, zan shaida mana a wannan wuri matsayin wannan kungiya na Muslim Professionals in Da'awa. Kungiya ce ta kafu kan cewa da abin nan babba ɗaya, manufa ɗaya shi ne isar da addinin musulunci ga waɗanda ba musulmi ba duk faɗin ƙasar nan, duk Najeriya, cewa lallai wajibi ne a kaina, a kanka, a kan dukkanmu mu isar da saƙon musulunci ga waɗanda ba musulmi ba. Mu ɗauki addinin musulunci mu kai, don wajibi ne a kan saƙon da kullum yake aiko mu da shi zuwa ga sauran al'umma, cewa shi ne da shi da mu kuma da muke tare da shi ba za mu iya wannan aikin ba. Dole ne al'umma su kamo hannu, mu kama hannu mu yi gaba ɗaya. Za a yi mamaki a ce garin musulunci, ƙasar musulunci, amma akwai garuruwan da suke kiristoci ne ko ba haka ne ba? A nan kuma jihar Borno, ni da kai me muke yi? Wajibi ne mu isar musu da saƙon musulunci. Annabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam da sahabbansa ba su bar kowa ba da hatsarin da ke cikin ainihin Makka, wanda a lokacin ba a so a ji kalmar shahada. Amma manzo sallallahu alaihi wasallama ya hau dutse ya kira al'umma ya ce musu su bi musulunci. Ni da kai dole ne mu isar da musulunci ga kowane wanda bai san musulunci ba. Don da yawa, alhamdulillah, bayan kafa wannan kungiya ta Muslim Professionals in Da'awa, wanda yake Muslim Professionals in Da'awa tana amfani da dukkan kungiyoyi ne gaba ɗaya na musulmai. Wannan kungiyoyi duka su tabbatar da cewa sun isar, an isar da saƙon musulunci zuwa ga kowane musulmi. Wallahi zuwa yanzu ni na tabbatar an isar, kuma an je garuruwa na Inyamurai, garuruwa yan Niger Delta, garuruwa a nan North East, musamman Taraba, Adamawa da Bauchi, ainihin North Central irin su Niger da FCT da sauransu, banda haka ma sauran garuruwa na Arewa, cikin arewa sosai da northwest Kebbi da sauransu kuma zaka samu wadanda ba musulmai ba aje a kira su ya zuwa yau da tabbatar an musuluntar da mutane fiye da 20,000 wanda yake kuma idan bayan an musuluntar da su za a samar da malamai su je su karantar da su kuma ni da kai ne da sauran yan uwa ake daukan kudi aje a bayar a karantar da mutanen nan saboda haka sakon mu zuwa gare ku shine mu dage ko mu dauki wannan sako na musulunci mu kai mu wadanda ba musulmai ba Allah ya taimake mu Allah ya ba mu sa'an haka insha Allah na tabbatar zamu ba da sako zuwa ga liman dan ya ba da ko isar irin ayyukan da muke yi a wurare za ku sha mamaki da yana nan in zai yi bayani kai ka ce wani mutum ne wanda yake na daban nakan shi awan zama da shi saboda kaunar yanda yake son musulunci kai ga jama'a Allah ya taimake mu fa subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah alhamdulillah jazakumullahu khairan
anan zaman saya domin lokacin sallah idan Allah ya kai rai gobe karfe 9 shine za a yi amma na musamman ba na maza ba na mata domin su ma bai dace a bar su a baya ba kuma gashi azumi a gaban mu idan an zo da yamma kamar yadda muka saba bayan sallar magriba a gobe lahadi da izinin Allah subhanahu wataala shine kuma za a yi na maza kamar yadda yanzu aka yi muna roƙon Allah subhanahu wataala Allah ya kai rai da lafiya shehi Allah ya kara masa lafiya ya kare sa wanda sun zo tare da shi ubangiji ya kare su jami'an tsaron mu Allah ya kare su mu wanda muka zo muke ji ubangiji Allah ya kare ku gabaki daya Allah ya kai ku gidajen ku lafiya mu yi salatu wa annabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اياك نعبد واياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقه لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين